Also greet each of you this morning in the name of Jesus again as well. I had to think of that last song we listened to. I can hardly wait until we can sing it together. God is so good. To focus our minds on the goodness of God is always uplifting. Appreciate the thoughts that Brother Jeff shared in relation to seeking God, and in that we find the fulfillment of life. Not in pleasures, not in seeking happiness in itself, but finding that joy, fulfillment, and happiness by finding God and filling our life and our hearts with His love and with His presence. Just thought you might be interested. I did something this morning that I've never done before in my ministry. Before the Sunday morning message, now I've already preached another message. At 5:30, I was on a Zoom call to Bangladesh. The mission board is asking different ministry to preach for the congregation there. We don't have house parents there right now because of the COVID problems. And so preached to a small audience there, as well as some of the mission board were on the call. So that was interesting. Let's continue to pray for them. Sometimes they're out of sight, out of mind, but they are doing God's service there, running the clinic, meeting the needs of the refugees there in the refugee camp. So let's keep them in our prayers. I'd like to take your thoughts this morning to 2 Corinthians 10. I was looking back to see when I preached this message last, or at least used this text last. I think it was 6.5 years ago. So maybe you may remember some of this or not, but I've chosen to look at this from a little bit different angle than we often do. 2 Corinthians 10. And verse 5 is the verse, it's a familiar verse that we're going to look at this morning. I've entitled the message, Bringing Every Thought into Obedience. And we know here Paul is speaking, writing, and encouraging us in relation to our thought life. I have to also admit that sometimes I'm apprehensive, having been as far as preaching and choosing topics. And I would just like to stop and say this right now. I've been wanting to do this for a while already. I would really be open to your suggestions for topic and message choices, texts along the way. I am having done a lot of the preaching in the last years. I was a little shocked to see in my folder that for Heartland, it's I think it was 245 sermons there. My fear is of not that God would have less for us to say, but am I covering, by the grace of God, what needs to be said? So I certainly invite your input on that, lest things are missed. And also, of course, I say this tongue-in-cheek, but I don't want to wear out my welcome either. All right, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 1. Now I, Paul, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present, with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I'll read verse 6 yet. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Now, this thought in verse 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing, in other words, the exalted thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, we have a tendency to look at this scripture, first of all, from the premise that we are to have control of our thoughts and bring all our thoughts under the control of the Holy Spirit of God and in obedience to Christ. And that is a large part of this scripture. And we're going to be looking at that and what that means to us. But then we're going to expand on that idea a little bit more in relation to what it means to compare, as it were, our thoughts against the knowledge of God and our obedience to Christ. First of all, we are not victims of our thoughts, but are responsible to choose how we think. Now, it is true, and I don't want to put anyone on a guilt trip here in relation to an oversensitive conscience. You know, we cannot necessarily control every thought that flutters through our minds. I mean, how many thoughts have you had since you were sitting here listening to me start to preach this message? You know, maybe about my topic and maybe about something else. You know, thoughts come and go very rapidly if we're a normal, rational person. So I don't believe that this scripture is saying that we have to control every single thought that comes in. And if all of a sudden a bad thought shows up in our minds, that we're guilty of something. I'm not saying that. I don't think that's what this scripture is saying. And we'll get to that a little bit later, but it really is more what we do, what we choose to do with those thoughts that enter our minds. Do we recognize them? Do we know what they are and what they're doing to us? But I would say that we are not victims of our thoughts in the sense that we have no control over what happens. There's a tendency in which, that we can become comfortable with our thinking and thinking patterns when actually they are wrong, and we're not comparing them to God's standard, the knowledge of God, and obedience to Christ. An example would be in Acts 26 and verse 9, where Paul there, I believe it was before either Felix or Agrippa, he said, I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Notice what he said? He says, I verily thought with myself. In other words, Paul said, I came to the conclusion that this was the right path for me to do. Until, of course, there on the road to Damascus, Jesus arrested him there, as it were, and said, you're wrong. You're going exactly against the very thing that I want you to do. You're kicking against the pricks. But Paul said, I verily thought, with myself, that this was the right thing to do. And we know the Old Testament scriptures there, in Proverbs, where it says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And so what we're showing is that we can trick ourselves and engage in wrong thinking. And so that's part of this message this morning too, in relation to bringing every thought into obedience, to the obedience of Christ. Now, further, why is controlling our thoughts so important? Thoughts are what make us who we are or what we are. The gift of rational thinking gives us a distinction from all other creation. In that sense, we are made in the likeness of God. We can think rationally and strategically and spiritually, and all those elements together gives us a distinction above all other creation. Because of the power of thoughts on our total person, it is important that we understand and accept our responsibility in controlling our thoughts. And so this morning, this is something that I need, is something I think we all need to stop and think about, is what is our thinking patterns? What is causing us to come to the conclusions we come to, and the reasons that we do certain things? What is that thinking pattern that controls us? Because of the power of thoughts on us as a total person, it is important that we understand and accept our responsibility. Now, So we need, by the power of Christ and conscious effort, to control our thinking patterns. And all of us relate to this in a different way. All of us have certain tracks of thought that we have a tendency to go down. Something happens, we start thinking this track. Something else happens, we start thinking this track. Our minds are malleable. You can form them in the way you think in certain ways at certain times. That sometimes we call it habits. And habit can be actions, but it also can be the way we think, the pattern of thinking. And if you watch somebody, you work with them for a while, you will know their pattern of thinking. This and this happens, and this is what you're going to expect them to do or to say or how they're going to react. You just know that because we understand the thinking pattern. Maybe this is just on off to the side. I certainly did not have this in my notes, but you think about a husband and wife that have been married for many years. And many times you see that they start acting alike. They start doing things much the same. And maybe they start, one can almost say what the other one probably is thinking. You know, it happens to us, where you just kind of know. And it's partly because of living with a person, knowing a person so well over the years that you know their train of thought, you know their thinking patterns. You know when this and this happens, this is about what you're going to expect them to say. Or depending on you're driving down the road and you're looking around and you're seeing the same scenery, and often you're going to say something, make some same remark or similar remark. That's because of two people having blended their lives together and learning, how the thinking patterns work. Not necessarily is it always exactly the same, but it's predictable, or quite predictable. And so that is an illustration of what I'm saying in relation to, the habits and the power of our thinking. Now, there's a quote that says, thought is like the rudder of human action. Thought is like the rudder of human action. The rudder, of course, is on a boat that steers a boat, and thought is like that to our actions. It's the rudder. Another quote is, every sin begins with a sin of thought. Every sin begins with a sin of thought. And we can go back to James 1, and he talks about that. When lust hath conceived, in other words, it's thought upon, and lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Proverbs 23 and verse 7, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. 1 Samuel 16:17, for the Lord seeth not as a man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. And many times the aspect of the heart is in the Bible is referring to the mind. And the aspect is that deep intuition and part of us that generates those thoughts. Matthew 23:25-28 there, Jesus derided and reproved the Pharisees because of the corruption that was within their hearts. He said that you're like sepulchers that are all polished and painted white on the outside, but inside you're full of dead man's bones, full of corruption. And so he condemned them because of their hearts. And so what we are is what is in our thoughts and minds. Also remember our biases toward our own thinking, which also comes into play in relation to that thinking patterns that are developed. God judges a person by what is on the inside. He sees beneath the facade, beneath the exterior, and he sees what really is going on in the heart. As Hebrews 4 and verse 12 says, that he is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, we understand and know that all actions are preceded by thoughts. We say sometimes, I said that before I thought, or I did that before thinking. No, that's the reason we say that, or we mean that, is that I didn't think enough, but I acted. And so, but there is a thought that will precede an action. And sometimes in our haste, we don't think enough before we say things or do things. But the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So God knows what is inside. Like the song we sing sometimes, Lord, thou hast searched and seen me through. It says there, my thoughts before they are mine own are to my God distinctly known. And I was thinking about that recently and hearing that song. I said, was that really a Bible? And yet, sure enough, it's a very familiar Bible verse from Psalm 139. He says, he knoweth my thoughts afar off. So it's a scriptural concept. Now, secondly, how do our thoughts control us? We may not be able to entirely control thoughts that come to us. We talked about that. But we will choose what path we allow those thoughts to take. Whether we turn those thoughts away by choosing to think something else. In other words, by distraction, take our minds another place. Or we can choose to dwell on that thought and expand on that thought and meditate on that thought. And then, of course, it becomes more a part of us. The paths we habitually choose to allow our thoughts to take become thought patterns. That's a term I've used before already this morning. But it becomes thought patterns that over time become very difficult to change. Do you ever talk to someone that you would say is rather stubborn about their thought patterns? No, this happened, and therefore this is why it happened. And that's just the way they interpret it. It doesn't matter what you say, what other information you bring to the table. It's like, no, this is how it is. It's a thought pattern. They choose to think about something in a certain way. Now, it may be predictable, but predictability is not good if it's wrong. So we need to be careful with that. And so the paths we habitually choose to allow our thoughts to take will then become the thought patterns over a period of time. And it takes a lot more effort than to change them. Some illustrations would be, negative examples. A negative mindset. Nothing is ever quite right for their liking. Have you ever talked to someone like that or know someone like that? It's just like they're never having a good day. It's just always things are wrong. Always something is wrong. Now, we respond to life in different ways. We're not all the same. But, just to have that negative mindset, there's always something wrong with everything. Or a suspicious mindset, reading things into situations that aren't there. Always that suspicious, just always sure that there's something wrong with this. Or a critical mindset, always seeing what is wrong instead of what is right. Or what is good, versus what isn't good. There also are positive thought patterns that we can develop in our minds. Kindness and graciousness, thankfulness and gratitude, trust and confidence in others. And I think you've heard me use this illustration before, but my grandmother on my mother's side, as she got older in life, I don't know if I've ever known a more thankful older person. Like she was just, all when you visit with her, she was in her 90s, upper 90s when she passed away. But she was always like just thankful and just, people just were treating her so good and she just had it so good. And I just thought, well, if I could just become like that when I get old, and just thankful for what God had done for her and just thankful for the little things of life. But that's a mindset. It's what we can develop. Someone said that as we get older, we just become more what we already are. Sometimes that's a little scary, isn't it? But I think it's true. As you get older, you're going to become more of what you already are. So, of course, that means that we ought to pay attention to what we are today in relation to our thought patterns, if we're going to become more of that as we get older. So there's kindness and graciousness, thankfulness and gratitude, trust and confidence in others. Now, for our thoughts to have value, we must direct them, we must lead them, we must guide them. Otherwise, it's just thoughts are like chickens out in the yard that go all different directions, and you never know where they're going to end up. That's how our thoughts can be. This is a quote I came across, unguided thoughts are like a wandering animal that is drawn hither and yon by the allurements of the senses. Unguided thoughts are like a wandering animal that is drawn hither and yon by the allurements of the senses. That's what happens, I think, if we do not guide our thoughts, lead our thoughts, and control them. If we do not lead our thoughts down right paths, there, of course, is other powers that will directly lead us and lead those thoughts. There's the world, there's the flesh, and there's the devil. And all these powers combined would like to lead our thoughts and direct us in the way we think and respond to situations. Thirdly, how can I control my thoughts? We are responsible for what we allow our minds to feed on. And this came to me, I guess, in relation to life and the world in which we live today. You know, we are responsible for what we allow our minds to feed on. If we want to think right, we need to put the right information in there. We must feed our minds, our thoughts, with the correct information, with truth, with spiritual realities and spiritual truth, because that is what is going to feed right thinking. All the information input into our minds will determine what kind of person we are. You know, and I think, you know, just an illustration is the, and I'll maybe refer to this later, the digital information age and the emotion or the information overload, I believe that is, and it's documented, it's studied, is creating mental and emotional stress with people, individuals today that is overwhelming. And the information overload that the minds are trying, the thoughts are trying to sort through. And of course, with that is the true and the untrue. It is the what is right and what is wrong, all mixed together. You know, and that emotional overload is just more than most human minds can handle. And so that is part of the background, I think, of my burden in this message this morning, of bringing every thought into captivity is according to the knowledge of God and then obedience to Christ. Now, if we choose to feed our minds on wrong or inaccurate information, we will develop wrong thinking. And of course, wrong thinking leads to wrong actions. And people come to the wrong conclusions because they've allowed themselves to be directed and led in a certain direction because of the information that they are feeding on in relation to their minds. We must remember, in relation to the kingdom aspects, the kingdom of the world and the kingdom of Christ, God is the source of all truth. Satan is the source of all lies. And the sense in which we are in the midst of that, where God is the source of all truth, Satan is the source of all lies, and in this world, we're in between those two, trying to discover truth, and what is truth, and know what is half-truth, and what is quarter-truth, and all those mixtures. And we have to be discerning by the grace and the power of God to understand that, lest we be deceived. And we end up thinking that wrong is right and right is wrong, like the Old Testament prophet talked about. So we need to be very careful what we believe and accept as truth. Colossians 2 and verse 8, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." Much of the media industry today is built around gullible, innocent people just accepting what they present as truth. And by the grace of God and carefulness, the work of Christ in our hearts, understanding the knowledge of God and the obedience of Christ, we can sort through that. The tendency is, of course, if it fits my ideas or my thoughts, then we have a tendency to accept it as information or as truth and fail to test it against the knowledge of God or God's truth. Just thought of an illustration earlier this morning on our call. one of the brethren from another country who was on the call. In the beginning, we were waiting for Bangladesh to come online. And then he just asked me about this pastor who was jailed in Canada for refusing to stop having worship services. We talked about that for a little bit, and he said, I said, yeah, it's sad. But I said, just remember that there's more to that story than most people realize. And many uninformed, maybe well-meaning Christian people are trying to make him into some kind of a Christian martyr without knowing the whole story. You know, and this, it's not helping the cause and testimony of Christ in the church in the world. And I think we got to be careful with that, because until you know the whole truth of it, it can be misleading. That's just one illustration. Brother Nevin Zimmerman and I were talking about that last evening along the same line of in relation to where we're at in this whole situation now and lockdown and all of that. We live in the digital information age. You know, and there's many aspects of this that pose a serious hazard for right thinking among God's people. I guess it's a burden that was heavy on my heart when I think about the last days, the digital information era that we're in, age that we're in, the amount of misinformation that is out there. How are we as God's people going to sort through that and understand what it's doing to our thought life, our thought patterns? How are we going to bring it and measure it against the knowledge of God and the obedience to Christ? I believe that there's a lot of this misinformation. I believe is a major part of the deception of the last days. And we must know how we're going to guard ourselves against these things. We should be careful what goes into our minds and what we repeat, and be sure to measure it against God's standard of knowledge and truth. Otherwise, we could end up being a part of those who spread errors and lies. You know, when we keep God's eternal truth foremost in our pursuit of knowledge, and really in looking at and listening and reading and all those things, it is part of a pursuit of knowledge and knowing. You know, we must keep God's eternal truth foremost. Otherwise, we will not be able to filter out the error and the misinformation that is feeding the deception of the last days. This week I received a 4-page article from a group of conservative Anabaptist brethren. It was written by those who have extensive knowledge and who work in the healthcare industry, explaining the various use of vaccines in addressing what is truth about them and what are the true concerns from a biblical perspective. I just appreciate that there are brethren that have that knowledge and that experience that are stepping up to help guide us in our time. You know, that we are not, as we try to sort through all these things, we're not simply influenced by, you know, all the ideas floating around out there. But it's an illustration, I believe, of us banding together and helping each other to think through the issues together so that we do not find ourselves on the wrong side of truth. Now, what are some practical things for us to do? We must consciously choose the good and discard the wrong. I think that's part of us having a clear mindset and bringing every thought to the obedience of Christ and check it against the knowledge of God, who is again the God of all truth, you know, and to choose the good and discard the wrong. You know, Bible reading and prayer is so important, you know, and that is the standard of truth that we hold, is the eternal scriptures. And so we measure all other information, all the other thought patterns against the truth of God's word. We are measuring against that eternal truth. that will help us and we will not go wrong. There is a spiritual meditation. In other words, what we allow our minds to feed on and where we allow our minds to go. Whenever your mind is somewhat, you could say, in neutral, when you're just sitting quiet, or maybe you're doing a job, but you don't have to think hard about this job, and your mind is going somewhere, where does it go? What are we thinking about? What is the meditation of our hearts? You know, one thing that really inspires me is and challenges me is, you know, the psalmist David there, who had all those hours out there on the hills as he fed his flock of sheep and took care of them, all those hours to do whatever. Yes, we know that he practiced with his sling and got really good at it. And he did a lot of those things. He enjoyed nature and he wrote about those things. But you know, one of the outstanding things about the psalmist David was he talked so much about his thoughts of God. And he says, you know, if I could count all my thoughts, it'd be more than I could number. You know, and he talked about his thoughts being toward God. We have those psalms that we enjoy so much that he wrote because he was thinking right. His meditation was on spiritual things. And that's a challenge to me, a challenge to all of us. Spiritual meditation. Where does our minds go when we really have nothing important to think about, but we're just in neutral, you could say, or we're just meditating? Sometimes someone will say, well, you know, what are you thinking about? You may say, oh, nothing. What we mean is nothing important, probably, but we're always thinking. Our minds are somewhere. They're ruminating over something. So we need to discipline against negative thoughts that come. Negative thought patterns. You know, we can tell ourselves lies about ourselves. We can tell ourselves lies about other people. We can tell ourselves lies about circumstances that we feel are against us. There's all kinds of lies you can tell yourself. But we need to discipline against that. That's wrong thinking. So discipline against negative thoughts that come. I'd just like to go, step off to the side here a little bit, but just in relation to us as parents and teachers, you know, we need to encourage right thinking patterns in our children. You know, thinking of the younger mind and the how moldable, malleable it is, and to help them learn right thinking patterns as a child, as they grow up and become older. That's why it's so important, you know, like whether it's a child that is prone to self-pity, right away feel that everybody's against them or picking on them. Just don't tolerate it. Just help them out of that mindset. Otherwise, it will handicap them for life. Or it's the critical mindset. You know, always, you know, pointing out all the failures and faults of other people. Again, the negative mindset. Those are, as parents with our children, you know, be discerning. We need to understand what thinking patterns are developing in their minds and in their hearts and how that is expressed, lest we allow them to go down the wrong, have wrong habits, and therefore, again, handicap them for the rest of their lives. So teach proper critical thinking skills. Teach them how to evaluate truth and error. You know, that is an important part also in relation to establishing right thinking patterns in a child. We need to keep our minds busy with good and profitable things. This is how we lead our thoughts along a right path, whether it's a good reading or whatever it is, you know, something to stimulate the brain in a positive way, that feed that good information in there so that our minds have that, as we say sometimes, food for thought. And that is really what it is. It's food for thought. It's what can stimulate us in a positive way. So good reading and good study habits, you know, to take the time to engage in that. Some enjoy reading more than others. But it's always important to challenge our minds with learning something new. Again, you know, positive. I'm not saying it always has to be doctrinal or something like that. But something that is positive, to expand our knowledge on the basis of truth and not on error. We need to avoid the situations or remedy the situations where idleness is a trap. You know, sometimes we say about a certain situation, a person has too much time to think. I've never done a prison term, prison time, but I suspect that one of the torments of prison is having too much time to think. I suppose they can read and they can do some other things, some activities, but too much time to think. And some jobs, you know, have that special snare of too much time to think. You have to compensate for that somehow. Back to the scriptures now where we started. Pull down the strongholds of wrong thoughts. Pull them down. Measure them. Measure our thinking against the knowledge of God. And bring into captivity those straying thoughts. And measure that them against our obedience to Christ. Remember, what we feed our minds on will determine who we are, what we are, and our actions. What are you feeding on this morning? What are we feeding into our minds that would become our thoughts and our actions? I'm going to close with a few verses. Hebrews 4, 12 and 13, very familiar. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. God has the discernment. God has the power through the scriptures to discern every thought and intent of our heart. Everything. And so with that power on our side as a Christian, we can bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Colossians 2 and verse 8, which I think is also a very pertinent scripture as we think about our day, and we talked about the digital information age. Colossians 2, 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. I could tell you some stories of people that I knew who allowed themselves into wrong thinking, wrong reading material, wrong study, and it has taken them far afield in relation to the Christian faith. They chose to allow themselves to be exposed to error to the point that they have lost track, I think, of what truth is. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. Again, our theme verse or text verse, 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down imaginations and every high thing. In other words, what man thinks is important, and higher education in the sense of humanism and relativism, every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. May God help us this morning to allow the Holy Spirit and God in his power to lead, help us to lead our thoughts. We are not victims of our thinking. We choose how we're going to feel and think about situations. Let's be sure that we're feeding our minds with the right information so that we can glorify God and serve him in faithfulness. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we come to you this morning thanking you that we can know you and know that you know us. You know us through and through. You know the deep inner workings of our brains, of our minds, of our hearts. Father, you see the intentions of our hearts. You see, you know, the every detail of our lives. And Father, we pray this morning, we plead for spiritual discernment, for spiritual power. We might have that knowledge of you and of eternal truth to be able to compare it against all the heresy, all the error that is around us. Father, we know, we believe that we are living in dangerous times. We're living in days of delusion in the last days. And Father, we just pray that you would help us to have right discernment. And also, Father, that we would know how to feed the right truth and knowledge into our minds and hearts, that we would not stray from the straight and narrow, but ever follow the way that you want your people to go in truth and in blessing. And so, Father, we just pray your blessing upon each of us, and may we continue to allow you to lead us each step of the way. We ask in the name of Christ. Amen.